Okay, it's all yours, Johnny.
Thank you. Hi, guys. I'm Johnny. I'm alcoholic. Oh, I'm glad to see you all. And thanks for meditating with me. I practice TM, and I'm terribly undisciplined. So if I wasn't with you guys, I probably wouldn't have meditated. And I try to go every day to a meeting at the same time that starts with a 20-minute meditation. And they don't have it on Mondays, but it's called Principles in Application. And FYI, I'm leading a workshop on Sundays at this time on the bondage of self. So if that's something you're interested in, I'll let me know and I'll post the ID in the chat. So I'm an alcoholic and I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon. And I love the fact that this meeting is open to all fellowships. It's such an interesting dichotomy that BBA is centrally focused on the big book, yet it has always welcomed members of other fellowships, which I just think is fascinating. You know, I used to talk to, before I joined Al-Anon, I would try to talk to Dan Sherman, who wrote the Big Book Awakenings, about the 12 and 12. And I was met with great resistance on that book. And I love the 12 and 12. I think it's just unbelievable. So to qualify briefly, I'm a real alcoholic. I'm allergic to alcohol. I can never safely drink it again from a very young age. Like 5, I felt this level of separation from everybody and that I was alone and that I was fueled by fear and shame and became incredibly people-pleasing. And to try to compensate for the fear of people that I had and the low self-esteem. And the moment I had alcohol, I didn't care about the loneliness or the shame or any of that stuff. It was the greatest treatment ever until it boomeranged on me and I became a full-blown alcoholic and caught the allergy. And once I start, I can't stop. And once I'm stopped, I can't stay stopped. And I'm the real thing. And I'm just like the book talks about, I'm worse dry in many ways than I was drunk. I have a fault-finding, self-abusive mind, and nothing I do is ever good enough for me. And I'll tell you, that is a painful, painful way to live while I'm dying of untreated alcoholism. And I have a lot of experience with untreated alcoholism to the point where I've ended up in a lockdown psych ward simply because of untreated alcoholism. And that's brutal. So I have a great respect for this thing, dry, because I had such a powerful experience 20 years ago when the truth, you know, we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholic. And that happened to me with no thought or effort on my part. All I did was drink and shoot dope and smoke crack and all that stuff. And the truth hit me. Everyone else knew it except me. And today, this is true. I'm going to read from page 93. It's in italics. And I've been told, and I don't know if this is true, that anything in the, that italics were very expensive to use when they first printed the book. So anything in italics is important. And I don't know if that's true for sure, but I believe it is. So the main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he lived by spiritual principles. And just to spin that so it's better, the main thing is that I be willing to believe in a power greater than myself and that I live by spiritual principles. And I don't think that's true because it's printed in the big book, but I can assure you it's true because it's my experience. And it only happens when I have awareness of what I'm up against, which is all those things I shared about in my qualification. And I find some of the things in here to be really fascinating. You know, I've seen so many people come to meetings and my home group and bring a list of spiritual principles, you know, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness. They're all different lists, courage, and I know from my experience that I can't live up to those things, right? Many of us had, I can't remember exactly what it says, philosophical and moral ethics galore, but we found we could not live up to them. So if you just hand me a list and say, here, I'm screwed, you know? So I need principles that I can apply in my life. There was my home group is the Beverly Hills Men's Stag, which is a old meeting. It was founded in 1946. It's the oldest men's stag in the world. And there was a guy who passed, George O, who would always say, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Which I just love that, right? So the main thing right now is that my ideals be focused on a power at least other than self. And my journey here through the inventory process and 12-step has been a deconstruction and of self. You know, it's interesting that self-knowledge avails us nothing, yet a man armed with facts about himself can easily win the influence. You know, I used to know this book so well, and I just don't anymore. So I think this is a step two program. I think all the steps are about step two and coming to believe in a power other than and greater than self. And I think what we do here is we make inquiry about what is self? What is this power? How do I play God in my life? And by taking simple statements and not only turning them into questions, but taking them off the page and putting them in my life as a way of life, it just works for me right now to live with God. And I, below the level of consciousness, I believe that I am a king who's been crowned by God, like Arthur, you know, with the Lady of the Lake and the whole thing, that I'm king by divine right. And I live in this world where I want everything to be my way. And I presuppose that it's supposed to be my way, never realizing that my way was supposed to be turned over to God back there when I took step three 20 years ago. You know, I don't understand what my will is until I stop and I come here and I be with you guys. And I take a breath and I think about what I'm up against. I mean, just the fact that I haven't had a, I drank every day for 23 years, unless I was incarcerated, you know? And all of a sudden I stopped. I was stopped with no thought or effort on my part, and I haven't had a drink. I haven't wanted to drink despite untreated alcoholism in over 20 years. That's amazing to me. It's like, there's no way. My wife, who's in the program longer than me, she's 23 years sober. She calls me newcomer. She has a book she got from her sponsor, a daily reader, and the other day, I'm still touched by it. It's about a woman. There was a thing about a woman who's standing in a river dying of thirst. And man, I so identify with that, you know, like, right now, when I have awareness that I'm an alcoholic and that I'm not management material for this life, and that I need to be supplied by data to live in this world from a source other than intellect. See, I don't take into account feelings. And I don't take into account the most important thing, which is my intuition, which is the voice of God, which I hear in my heart. I think I can get by in this world based on my IQ, despite my track record of abject failure at doing that. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so goddamn tragic, you know? So I stop. And I make an inquiry, what does it mean to be powerless over alcohol? What does it mean to have an unmanageable life? What does it mean to be the manager of my life? You know, because it's not a God of, it's not just a God of creation that's holding the rings of Saturn up there in place. I need a God for my life, which I hear. I can hear it if I turn. And I had a sponsor named Ted Bratter for a short time. And this guy was the most unbelievable AA I ever heard talk about this thing. And he said, a relationship with the steps and a relationship with God is like a rheostat. And I don't know if you guys remember, we used to have those dimmers that were, you turn the dimmer switch for the lights and you hit it to turn it on and then you turn it up or down. And he said, this relationship with God and steps is like a rheostat, but it's spring loaded. So it always goes to off. And I need to exert my desire to turn the lights on, and I got to keep my hand on it. Always. And I'm human, and I'll never by any chance be able to remember. And that better be okay with me, because the disease of alcoholism will use the disease of alcoholism to destroy me. It centers in my mind and it's powered by itself. So what's happening here, little by slowly, is as I try to take these principles, statements out of the literature and put them in my life, starting back here at step one, I'm starting to see that I'm fueled by a disease. That's like a foreign installment that doesn't like me. Like, if I just stop with that one, self doesn't like self, how am I going to live in this world fueled by a self that doesn't like self? It's going to make decisions for me that are destructive. So I'm having to learn how to be okay with a mind, how to be okay with a self that doesn't like self, because the awareness of that takes away all its juice, all the power. And it's not my fault. All of the crazy things I did drunk, and all of the crazy things, my adventures that I've done abstinent, I'm fueled by a subconscious, got it, that doesn't have my best interest at heart. So I gotta find forgiveness for myself and take responsibility for those actions. This is an incredible deal. 4 through 9 is such an amazing thing that it can bring about a character change that's necessary to live in this world. And as I apply these principles and as I become forgiving and compassionate towards Johnny, I start to fall in love with you. And I start to fall in love with me and all of my perfect imperfections. And it turns out that my imperfections turn out to be the greatest thing that ever happened, that this is not, in fact, a spiritual malady. It's a spiritual boon, because those people who go to church or synagogue or mosque because their lives are better when they do, I'm not like them. I must have God as the Lord of my life, not intellect as the Lord of my life. And it's so simple that I miss it every time. So I'm grateful to be here, and I hope you guys keep the main thing, because it's the main thing. And I'd love to hear what you have to say. So thanks for having me out.
Oh, thanks so much, Johnny. That was great. Let me stop the recording.